While everyone's coming in, I'm going to catch us up. If you're visiting this morning, you're part of our Bible class this morning, and we've been doing a series. We're so glad you're here, and I want to explain to give you a background on what we're doing. We're having what we're calling a shepherding series. The subject today is on parenting. If you're a campus student, please don't disengage because it's going to be very relevant to you. In this shepherding series, what we've been talking about is as your shepherds, Alan, Steve, and myself, what we're seeing in the congregation where we believe that the world's influence has been coming into the congregation. And so the point of this series is in a variety of topics is to show a clear difference between what the culture of our country, of the world, worldly thinking is saying to us versus what the Bible, God's wisdom, says to us. So that there is a very clear contrast. Sometimes we get confused which is which, where the influence is coming from. We don't think about it. And that's the point. We want to think about what's influencing us and how we live versus how God intends things for us to be for us. I hope that's clear. So we have the class on Thursday morning, on Sunday morning, and then on Thursday evening in our midweek, we have a discussion, and there's opportunity to make comments, to ask questions, so that anything that basically is shown today that we can come back and talk about, okay? Because we found that oftentimes there just isn't enough time to have a conversation and to ask questions. And really, you know, I think some of the subjects we've been talking about are challenging. They challenge our thinking, and it can get under our skin. Where is my thinking coming from? And when it gets under our skin, we got to do something with it, and that's the point. This is a call to action. Okay? So as I said, we'll be talking about parenting today. We are not going to be talking about parenting tips. We're not going to be talking about parenting to-dos today. We can certainly get into that if you like on Thursday night. But that what we're going to be talking about is a clear delineation between the world's influence and God's wisdom in the area of parenting. Okay? Good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for taking care of us, meeting all our needs, blessing us beyond belief. Father, when we sit and count the blessings that we have, we're amazed. And Father, we want to thank you for our families. We want to thank you for our spouses and our children, the great blessing it is to have them and also to be in the family of God. We're so grateful for that, and we want to give our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I mentioned, I do not want the campus group to check out. Because here's the thing. What we're going to be talking about is vital information. You need to understand the influence that the world is having on your choices right now. The world wants to tell you that certain things are normal and certain things are not, versus what the Scripture says is normal and what is not. They are in conflict. I want to make sure you understand. They are in crystal clear conflict, but we blur the lines. Is everyone with me on that? What I want to talk about is the role of mothers. And we're looking at this from the world influence. And we're looking at current state. I got these statistics from the Bureau of Census, the Census Bureau. I have gotten these statistics from the American Psychological Association, from Dr. Gillespie in counseling. This is the world on the world. How's that? So, single motherhood is now becoming the new norm. Nothing I say are my words in this part of this presentation. This is this is me quoting these studies verbatim. Is that clear? These are not my words, not my opinions. About 4 out of 10 children were born to unwed mothers. Nearly 2/3 are born to mothers under the age of 30. Out of 12.2 million single-parent families in 2012, more than 80% were headed by single mothers. Today, 1 in 3 children, a total of 15 million, are being raised without a father. Of that group, nearly half live below the poverty line. So in looking, I don't want to get too deep in numbers, but basically this is showing a progression from 2011 to 2012. And single mothers in 2011, we had a little bit over 10 million single mothers. And then it goes up, as you see, over 250,000 in 1 year. And single fathers also growing. This is parenting, and we're going to be talking about mothers and fathers and different influences. Around 45% of single mothers have never married. Around 55% are either divorced, separated, or widowed, have one child, 30% have two. About 2/3 are white. Excuse me. 1/3 black, 1/4 Hispanic, 1/4 have a college degree, 1/6 have not completed high school. At any one time, about 2/3 of single mothers are also working outside the home, a slightly greater share than the share of married mothers who are also working outside the home. However, only 2/5 of single mothers are employed full-time the entire year, and 1/4 are jobless the entire year. Half of single mother families have an annual income less than $25,000. Median income for single mother families is $25,353. It's only 1/3 of the median for married couple families, $78,699. Only 1/3 of single mothers receive any child support, and the average these mothers receive is only about $300 a month. According to the Hamilton Project at the Brookings Institution, the annual earnings single parent families had plummeted 20% between 2007 and 2010, compared to only 5% for two-parent families. Single mothers are more likely to be poor than married couples. The poverty rate for single mother families in 2011 was 41%, nearly 5 times more than the rate of 8.8% for married couple families. Let's look at fathers. This information is from the American Psychological Association, and these are their words. The new norm for fathers. The modern-day father comes in various forms. Today's father is no longer always the traditional married breadwinner and disciplinarian in the family. He can be single or married, externally employed or stay at home, gay or straight, an adoptive or step-parent, and a more than capable caregiver to children facing physical or psychological challenges. Psychological research across families from all ethnic backgrounds suggests that fathers' affection and increased family involvement help promote children's social and emotional development. Again, I'm just reading from their site. What has brought this change in roles for men as fathers? Two or three centuries ago, fathers' roles were primarily to serve as breadwinners and the conveyors of moral values and religious education to their children. However, with the advent of industrialization and urbanization, and as factories emerged as major sources of employment, fathers became distanced from the household and their families. Growing rates of abandonment and illegitimacy led to the development of welfare programs to assist widowed or unmarried women in supporting their children. In more recent decades, the changing economic role of women has greatly impacted the role of fathers. Between 1998 and 2001, the percentage of working-age women employed or looking for work nearly doubled from less than 33% to more than 60%. Their increase in financial power made paternal financial support less necessary for some families. In tandem with the growing autonomy of women, related trends such as declining fertility, increasing rates of divorce and remarriage, and childbirth outside of marriage have resulted in a transition from traditional to multiple undefined roles for many fathers. Today's fathers have started to take on roles vastly different from fathers of previous generations. Here are two of them: divorce and stepfathers. In cases of divorce, it is often difficult, if not impossible, for fathers to maintain the same types of parenting roles with their biological children. Indeed, children of divorce and later remarriage are twice as likely to academically, behaviorally, and socially struggle as children of first marriage families. Most divorced fathers do not receive full custody of their children. As a result, maintaining their roles as parents can be difficult due to the reduction in time spent with their children. Fortunately, visitation of fathers post-divorce has increased over the past two decades. However, it is not the frequency of contact between father and child, but rather the quality of the visits that contributes to the child's well-being. Research has found that the key factors that contribute to healthy adjustment for children post-divorce include appropriate parenting, enough access to the non-residential parent, suitable custody arrangements, low parental conflict, and parents who are psychologically healthy. It is estimated that one in three Americans is part of a stepfamily. Stepfathers can encounter many difficulties in their new parenting roles. They must strike a balance between maintaining healthy relationships with their ex-spouses in order to benefit their biological children without alienating their new partners. In addition, it may take years before they are accepted as real parents by their stepchildren. Research has found that the type of stepfamily with best outcomes for children consists of parents who form solid, committed partnership so they can not only nurture their marriage but also effectively raise their children. Blended families. More and more blended families are becoming the norm. 50% of the children in the U.S. are being raised in blended families. 1,300 new stepfamilies are formed every day. By 2010, it is predicted there will be more stepfamilies than any other type of family. At least one-third of the children living in the U.S. are expected to live in a blended family. Risk factors. There is little that is simple in a stepfamily situation. One thing for sure is that blended families suggest no fairy tale. In this paper, I'm just going to step aside from reading what was in here. They showed a picture of the Brady family. Y'all remember the Brady family? The Brady family, you know, maybe you can even remember the song, right? It was a blended family. You know, that was raised up as like this imaginary perfect family, but what was funny is when you thought about, wait, that was a blended family as well. Children are at greater risk of living in high conflict homes in the blended families. Over 50% of second and third marriages that end in divorce are caused by children. By the way, over 60% of second marriages end in divorce. Children in blended families are grieving, and more often not mature enough to explain their unhappiness. Keep in mind they have lost a biological parent and have to move from an environment they were used to, school, friends, church, neighbors. This stress can be overwhelming. They feel unwanted by a step-parent, feel alienated in the new family, torn by tension between biological parents, discomfort around the holidays and major events, feel instant competition between stepchildren and new parent figure. And then he goes on and talks about guilt not being an uncommon feeling amongst the parents, and the issue where sometimes a step-parent wants to be seen as the good guy. They want to be lenient with discipline, but the birth parent can be defensive with his or her spouse's view. The birth parent can be blinded to certain parts of parenting, especially when he or she is dealing with underlying guilt over a broken original marriage. The transition for children from being the center of attention by the guilty divorce parents to having to conform to a set of rules by the new step-parent does not go well. This is from Gillespie, the book Blended Families and Portraits of a Step-Family. So, what we've been talking about is what the world is saying about the world right now. What are we seeing in our congregation? We're seeing that blended families are having trouble integrating. We have many blended families in the church. We're also seeing disagreements between parents on how to discipline. And this disagreement causes confusion with the children, knowing what's going to happen, the uncertainty. And it causes conflict and fighting between the parents who disagree. We're seeing disagreements on the role of each parent. So in a blended family, you know, what does the stepfather do or the stepmother do? Even in a family that's first marriage, it's the same issue. What are the roles? Who's going to be the disciplinarian? What is the discipline? We see men running away from their responsibilities when there are difficulties in the family. We see single parent issues where women are not knowing how to help their sons, particularly as they get into the teenage years. Parents who are afraid of their kids. Sometimes their kids are bigger than they are. Parents afraid their children will not like them if they discipline them. They want to be a child's friend. Parents not being tough enough. Parents who are quitting in their discipline and giving consequences before they actually affect the heart of the child. So we have parents who discipline, but it's inconsistent. They don't always do the same thing for the same offense, and they don't always do it. This sends very mixed messages about whether you're serious or not, about the consequence. There is confusion about corporal punishment and how to do it, and it's done inappropriately at times. We see cluelessness to the sin that is in schools, even beginning in middle school. There is a naivete, my mouth is dry, about what our children are coping with and are tempted and pressured to do at school. You must be clued in to what's going on to be able to support them and help them with what they're having to deal with. Parents not following through on giving consequences for wrong behaviors. It's not enough to acknowledge to them that it's wrong. There has to be a consequence for that behavior. We see parents who do take time to get advice, but they don't follow it. And then they get the same results that they've been having, and then they get upset and angry as if they received bad advice. It's very strange. And that God's way does not work. But they never tried God's way. Some parents are being too harsh and hard with their children. It's a long list, isn't it? Sorry. Not listening to or spending enough time with their children. A belief that success in parenting is indicated by the academic and professional success of their children rather than their child's development of a close relationship with God. Parents who do not believe that the Word of God is useful for raising children. So, is the new normal our normal? That is the question. Quite frankly, I believe yes. I think that if we are reaching out and sharing our faith in the world, and we're reaching people and sharing the gospel with them, people who come into the kingdom are single moms. They're blended families, they're divorcees, and their children are products of these things, and that is the new normal in the world. And it does have an impact on the church. It has an impact on all of our lives. That's what we bring into the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? And so, in me sharing this, it's not an indictment on an individual's life and where we are. Please understand that. That's not the intent of what I've shared. The intent is to make it clear that that's not what God wants. What's normal in the world is not what God intended for us. And what's happening right now is what's normal in the world is killing us. It's hurting us. And on one level, the scientists and the researchers, the counselors, the psychiatrists know it. And they document it. And they can clearly tell you the effect it's having on our society. But what happens is our rulers are saying, our government and our people are saying, you can't say there's anything wrong about it. Because that's intolerant. You're saying something's wrong. So, campus, you must be clear that you have the opportunity. You're not married yet. You can start fresh. You can start God's way. You're not coming into the kingdom with this baggage or things that have already happened and then trying to apply the Word of God to your life. Because there are consequences for choices. There are. And we all live with consequences for our choices and our sin. We love our kids. That isn't the issue. That's not what I'm saying. We love our children. And we want to raise them the best way we can in the kingdom of God. Do we not? Amen. So I just want to be clear I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty. I'm trying to make sure that we understand what is normal by world standards is not God's standard. Amen. It's not what God wants. So let's talk about the wisdom of God. And to do that, where are we going to go? We're going to go to the Bible, absolutely. So turn to 1 Corinthians, and I want you to see a clear delineation, and you need to really pay attention to what's being said here. Paul was, to set the stage here, Paul was addressing some sin where people were thinking in worldly ways about their leadership. They were saying, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Jesus. So that's what he was addressing here. But what he's really addressing is worldly thinking. Okay? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That's 1 Corinthians 1:18. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Amen. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Jump to the second chapter, verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Let's review. Has not God made the wisdom of the world foolishness? In verse 26, he says, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. That is a fact. Not many of us are super smart. And there's a difference between being super smart and wise. Not many of us came into a relationship with God being very wise. Yet God chose us out of these situations and brought us into a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. God delivered us from this corrupt generation. You see, Jesus Christ is our wisdom from God. It says our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption comes from Him. This wisdom is not the wisdom of this age, which the Scripture clearly says is coming to nothing. In verse 12, he says, we have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit that is from God, that we might understand what God has freely given us. Spiritual truths are expressed in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Does this make sense? Yep. It explains everything, doesn't it? Yes. Sometimes it is very hard for us when we have not focused on developing spiritual discernment. We have not gotten into the Word of God. It seems like foolishness to follow what the Bible says. And the Bible is explaining it to you. It's being very clear. You must have developed your spiritual discernment, and it comes through studying the Word of God. Otherwise, what? I ought to do what? That doesn't make sense. I'm going to do this. It explains what's going on. But here's what's cool. We have the mind of Christ. We can actually think the way that Jesus Christ thinks. That's what this verse says. That's how I want to think. I think of really stupid stuff. That's how I want to be. So how do I get there? Sometimes we must be reminded that true wisdom comes from God. Let's look at another scripture. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we know all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Amen. the Scripture says the Scripture is useful. And tells you what it's useful for. So if you're not doing that, you're messing up. You need to be using the Scripture to train and equip not only yourself, but your family.
Amen.
Do you believe the Scripture?
Amen.
It's either true or it isn't.
Amen.
We have the mind of Christ and the Scripture, which is useful. So let me ask you, where do you go when you want to learn how to train your child to obey? Where are you going? Where do you go to learn about your role as a father? Or as a mother? Or as a parent? Where do you go to learn how to train your child's character, their morality? Where are you going? Is it the Scripture? What do you know from the Word of God about disciplining a child? Have you studied it out? What should you discipline according to the Word of God? If you do not immediately know the answers to these questions, you have not looked it up. You have not studied it out. You are not using the wisdom of God. Brothers and sisters, the world is trying to dictate to each of us the new normal. Here's how it's going to be, and it's okay. But do you know what God says about it? The world is trying to get us to accept as normal what God never intended for us to experience. Why should we settle for such a poor substitution? To do something the world dictates rather than our Creator has set aside for us. Why would we ever refuse the wisdom of God for the foolishness of men? Brothers and sisters, for years we've had parenting classes and made them available. We've offered practical application of God's Word on countless occasions, and they are useful and serve a purpose. But the real issue is this. Do you want the mind of Christ? Do you want to be spiritually discerning? Are you willing to study these things out for yourself and put them into practice? The Word of God is useful, and we need to start using it.
Amen.
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 Amen. We're going to end right there. Please pray with me, and then we'll go pick up our kids. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you are with us. So grateful that we have your Word that we can delve into, that we can get into and see exactly how you want things to be for us. Father, we confess we mess up, we've sinned, we make wrong choices, but we want to change that. Father, help us to do that. Give us the wisdom that comes from you. Help us to see how to use the Scripture in each of our unique circumstances. Help us to get help in these circumstances to be able to have great marriages and great families, that our children might also have a life in you. Father, thank you for giving us Jesus. And in His name we pray. Amen.
Amen.